bring them here. I'll look after that. Sound like PTL, don't it? Give your heart to the Lord and give us all your money. That's not the way it works. Verse 25, Moses said, you must give us sacrifices and burnt offerings also that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Now listen to this, verse 26. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. He didn't leave a hoof behind. He didn't leave hardly a hoof track behind. Nothing to tie them down to the world, back to sin, back to Egypt. It says, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. We don't know what God's going to require of us. He wants us to bring everything out of Egypt with us. Don't leave even a hoof print behind. But most people today's got so much back in Egypt till that's where their heart is. Like Lot's wife. Didn't Jesus say, Luke 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife? She left more back in Sodom than she had in her heart for God to bring out of that cursed place. And the city and her possessions and her family was burnt up in the overthrow of God's judgment. And she was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. And God said, don't you look back. In fact, Jesus referred to that in the 9th chapter of Luke. The last verse of that chapter, he said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. If you've got anything back in Egypt that attracts your attention, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible said, lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. Cut it off. Cut it out, God says. Get rid of it. And then run with patience the race that is set before you. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, who's the author. He started you. And if you go on down that road running with patience, he's going to be down at the finish line to greet you. Another time he said, I'll go with you too all the way. I won't never leave you nor forsake you. But I tell you, you're not going to run that race and win it tied up to Egypt with your idols, with the lust of the flesh, with your pride, with your bad attitude. You're going to have to get that mess out of your heart. Those thorns have got to be destroyed. Cut them down, God says, and cast them out. Or you can't take the word of God and it germinate and bring forth fruit in your life. I can't receive you. I'll have to reject you. Paul said about running a race, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he talks about the race, and I've heard many preachers say that he was probably referring to the Olympics. They did begin back there in the days of the Apostle Paul in Greece. That's where we inherited all that stuff from. But anyway, in the 9th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Hey, if you want to overcome, if you want to be the winner in this race, you've got to be temperate. That means have self-control in every phase of your life, or you can't win this race. You're going to lose. You've got to be temperate in all things. Now, they do it. See, they get out and run and jog and practice and take aerobics and all that junk for a physical prize. But we do it to receive an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. I cut off all of those weights. I can't run with them weights hanging on me. You see, in the Olympic races, to practice, to get yourself in shape, those runners of those city-states that used to compete in the first Olympics, Sparta and Athens and Corinth and those great city-states in the Mediterranean world, they're Olympic competitors used to run with weights tied on their feet or legs. They'd run, and then, boy, when they say when they cut them weights off, he's like a gazelle. Good land, didn't feel like he had nothing on. Boy, them legs just like pistons in a car going up and down. Because when those weights were gone, if you overcome them weights to jog and get in shape, boy, when they took the weights off of you, man, them legs is just like pistons going up and down, getting in shape. And Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means God rejects you because you don't keep your body under subjection. And this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's people, according to Isaiah 42 and verse 22, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all snared in holes. They're taken in prison houses. They're for a spoil and none delivereth. They're for a prey and none saith restore. And they're there because the verse before said God made the law honorable and magnified it. But you've broken my law. Therefore, God says, I've arrested you. I cried, cut it out, and you didn't cut it out. I yelled, cut it off, the Holy Spirit says. But you didn't cut it off. And therefore, you're under arrest. You've broken my law. And you're in jail. You're in prison. You're in traps. You're in pits. You're in bondage because you broke God's law. And ladies and gentlemen, we as an individual Christian must straighten up our life with God. And as a man or a woman of God, we must be as completely honest, possessing integrity with God, living in the fear of God, being honest with God and man, praise God, as much as possible under all circumstances, to be sure that God's severe chastening and judgment will fall upon the guilty that want to cover their sins. God said they'll not prosper. They want to cover their iniquity and their sins. We'll fast and pray until those that will not repent, those that are covering their sins, they will be exposed by the judgment of God and the chastening of God's rod, and we ourselves will all escape because we've circumcised our hearts to the Lord. We've cut away the foreskin. We've torn the idols out of our heart and rooted up the thorns and cast them out. We've laid aside every weight and every old sin that besets us, and we're in the race running it, and we don't have time to fool around with somebody that's got weights still tied on their legs. They're going to be left behind and lose the race. God help us to be winners. We can all win if we run with patience the race that is set before us after every sin and every weight has been taken away, cast aside, and the thorns removed out of our hearts. See, we have to have one goal. One goal, and that goal is to please him that hath called us to be a soldier. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Who in the dickens are you trying to please as a Christian? Who are you trying to please? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You might not please grandma and your wife or your husband, but you better please God, or you're not going to make it. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we run this race with patience, as Paul said, keeping under our body, bringing it into subjection, lest by any means when we have preached or testified to others, we ourselves would be a castaway, rejected and cast aside by God Almighty. And if we strive, we want to win this race, God said, we first strive for mastery in self-control.